The greatest television event of all history. Not. It's the news according to me. It's a Friday.
Friday.
What is that? What was that one song about Friday that just like got it was so bad. It got just raked over the coals. It ended this girl's career. Well, maybe it didn't. Maybe she's still out there. I don't know. But that was what she was known for. A really bad song. So we had a... But that just tells you what can happen if you have the right producer, the right marketing agent, all this money behind you. You can do the right thing. There are some songs out there. I've heard some songs that people have written that literally they were some of the better than some of the top 10 stuff you'll hear today. And absolutely, I mean, if they had the right producer behind them. Now, the problem with it gets into a whole different thing, though, too. It's just having a marketable stage presence is one. And let's just say, you know, it's not always just about the music. So we had, it should be, but it's not. Unfortunately, the American people are not that. Well, let's just say we're a little bit gullible, as all people are, not just American people, just people in general. I say American people, just people in general. Because we get into this whole thing of, well, we'll get into this a little bit later. I was thinking about this morning. Usually what I do is I get up in the morning and I tend to my animals because the dogs know the routine. In fact, if I don't get up in time, they start getting all antsy. The one dog will actually get all upset about me not getting up. He doesn't want to go out. He acts like he wants to go out. He'll just stand there and look at me. The other dog will go out just because I'm going out. He wants to go out and pee on everything. So he wants to, whether he has to pee or not, he wants to go out and just, you know, put his mark on everywhere. So he gets out and he goes out there and does his thing, runs around and sniffs everything. And he comes back in. The other dog, as I'm going out the door, I'll look at him. He just stares at me like, what? I'm not going out there. He's the one who will bark. He'll sit there and bark. The other one whines. He will look at me and bark. Looks right at me, just raw, just starts barking like he's got to go. This is an emergency. Jimmy's fell down the well. He's falling down the well, and we got to go get him. And so I jump out of bed, thinking that Jimmy, you know, I got to get out there and get Jimmy. We don't have a well. We do have a pool. We do have a well, but it's not that kind of well. You can't fall down our well. It's not one of those kind of wells. And we do have a pool, though, but there's no water in it. So you could fall in there, but you could just crawl back out after you hit your head on the bottom. So we had this dog thing. That goes on. The reason he wants me to get up is because after they come back in, they get these little, we call them treats. One dog thinks it's a treat. The other one knows it's a pill. One dog is pretty smart. The one that goes out and marks everything. He's an Australian Shepherd. He's on to it. The other one is a Beauceron. And I really like Beaucerons. That's the only dog I will probably ever have. Well, I do like Aussies and Border Collies. They are extremely smart. Problem is, they're smarter than me. That's the biggest problem I've got with them. So we got this cat as well. So the cat, it just messes around. The cat knows when the dogs start getting up that it's time to run around and act like a crazy cat. Pretend like you're hunting your prey or that you're going to go after their tails and one of them doesn't have a tail. And the other ones, it's just, you run around, you bounce around, you run back and forth, try to bite their legs, all this kind of stuff. Not realizing that at any minute that a dog could, the one dog is about 90 pounds. He could just do him in. He could just, one of these days I'm expecting to come home and just see the cat. They're just laying there, not and just being done. They just don't have him presented as a, look, we finally took care of this thing for you. Kind of thing. So we had this, this dog will just stand there and look at me. I come back in. They get these little, what they are is these, there's these little like, pills. They're not really pills. They're like a snack, but it's like a supplement. They're for, they kind of smell kind of funky, but the one dog loves them. My Beauceron loves them. If I could put a whole bowl full of them down, he'd eat the whole thing. The other one, you can hand it to him, try to hand it to him. He'll look at it, sniff it, and he'll just drop it on the floor. Or even if he didn't want to put it in his mouth, typically. So I have to do this little thing where I take a piece of chicken skin, roasted chicken skin, and put a little piece of that. When we get chicken, like the little pre-cooked, chickens, we'd skin those, and then we take the skin off, and we give that skin to the dogs. We'll mix it in with their food or just give it to them for a snack and for a little treat. And so what we do is that we have this little bowl of this stuff and have it all cut up in little pieces. Well, we take these little pieces, and you take the it's like a little pill type thing, and you squish it down to where what I do is I squish it down to where it's I make it into like a little tortilla, and then I put the little chicken skin inside there and I wrap it up kind of like a pig in a blanket, only it's a chicken skin in a blanket kind of thing. And when I hand it to him, of course, now I've got this chicken, flavor skin stuff all over my fingers as I'm doing all this. Of course, I don't want to hand it to him. He loves it because he's trying to get to the chicken skin. So he just eats the whole thing. He thinks it's a whole different treat. But we're out of the chicken skin right now. So I had to use a little, it's a little pill thing. It's supposed to thing, we're supposed to put a pill in it and this dog will eat the pill because it's in the thing, trying to trick him. But what I do is I open that up and I put the pill inside of there. I kind of squish it down and push it inside there, make a little hot dog out of it. And then I hand it to him. He eats that up. He thinks he's getting something special. So he's not quite as smart as he thinks he is. But, or maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe something else is going on there because he's getting twice the treat. He's outsmarting me, probably. And then I get all that done. I have to put the cat food out because the cat has to eat wet food. I guess dry food is actually more fattening for cats. And we were giving him dry food all the time, and he's eating like a pig. And he's starting to gain some weight. He's kind of a large cat anyway, but he was kind of gaining a little bit of weight. He gets plenty of exercise because he's running around like a maniac all the time. So I put out this wet food, and he just acts like he doesn't even know it's there. Now, he's got to be able to smell it. He won't eat it until I actually pick him up, lift him up, and put him up on the table where we have his food so the dogs will get to it. And then he finally eats it. He'll look at it. Sometimes he'll just walk away from it. This morning, I think he was eating it, but then I walked away, and he started following. He has to follow me around everywhere I go. If me and the dogs are, of course, the dogs follow me everywhere in the house, everywhere I go. If we're going to get something to eat, I'm going to get something to eat. And then the cat follows along like he's one of them, of course. Of course, they don't appreciate that a whole lot too much sometimes. But because he has a tendency to just start thinking this whole thing is a game and it's time to start playing and biting legs and tails. Or getting right in their face and jumping around. So it's pretty much a circus every morning here. It's like a circus. If you played the music, it would fit right in to what's going on. Now, after all this is done and everybody's taken care of, it's when I try to eat my Wheaties. It's about this time that my wife gets up. Now she's got like 5 different alarms that go off in the morning. They start about 4 o'clock in the morning, and she gets up about, by the way, it's about 7:37 a.m. right now. I've been awake since 5. That's when the first alarm went off this morning. She was like, I think it was 4:50. And there's like 4 or 5 different alarms that go off. And as the alarms are going off, of course, I'm wide awake. I don't go back to sleep usually. The first alarm goes off and I lay there awake. So either I have to pick up my phone and start doing something. I usually play, a couple games. My daily challenge on solitaire. And then I go from there. This is a long intro, folks. This is one of the longest intros I think I've ever done. But it is almost, I think it's a, we're at 308. What are we now, 385 episodes? Something like that. We're fast, quickly approaching 400 episodes here on the show. This is quite traumatic, considering there have been a few weeks I haven't had any episodes. Or at least a few weeks worth. So then I have my Wheaties. I'm getting to a certain point here I'm trying to make about the whole morning story, which is why I'm doing all this. Certain point I'm trying to make. So we get the Wheaties done. Now, my wife gets up usually about the time I get up, then she gets up. And then she gets in my way. She pretty much owns the kitchen, so I have to kind of just stand aside every time. So she waits. She'll if I'm trying to get in a particular drawer, she'll stand there and do something in front of that drawer for what seems like days while I'm waiting and waiting. I usually celebrate two or three birthdays by the time she gets done. And then she'll get out of the way. If I walk away and do something, she'll walk out of the way. And then, of course, as soon as I start to walk back towards that drawer, she will dash in front of me and get in front of that drawer again, where I'm just looking for a spoon. I should probably start hiding spoons around the house. If I don't know when I need a spoon, I can just get one. And then I end up making my Wheaties, and I turn on the hot water heater. Not the house water heater, but the little thing, got this little pot that heats. Like you push a button and it heats up the water in the pot. We don't drink coffee, so we just heat up water for tea and stuff. Which is what, you know, that's what I put in my cup. Speaking of my cup, this is the whole point of this whole story. What I have in my cup this morning is hot chocolate with creamer in it. Now, I have not drank any hot chocolate for quite a while. Swiss Miss hot chocolate is what I typically will drink. It makes my left eye twitch. I've discovered that this is a problem. This is not normal. When I stopped drinking Swiss Miss hot chocolate, my eye twitch went away. I thought it was a fluke. I stopped for about a week, eye twitch went away. I thought it was just being stressed. Or maybe I had an allergy or something. Which it could have been both. It could have been all three. I don't know. I stopped drinking the hot chocolate. Eye twitch went away. But it has to be a fluke. So I started drinking it again. Twitch came back. So I think I can drink it like once a week. I can't drink it every day. Now, in the wintertime, I drink it every day. Now, at home right now, we keep our house so cold. It's hot outside. This morning's not too bad. But it's been up in the upper 90s the last few days. And it's not a dry heat, by the way. This is humid Midwestern Indiana, Northern Indiana heat. It's very humid. You can almost feel steam rolling off of everything. And interestingly enough, we keep our house so cold that I'm actually wearing a shirt jack and I've got my slippers on and some sweats, and I'm drinking hot chocolate. Now, I am down in the basement. The basement is the coolest place in the house because it's where all the cold air kind of settles anyway, kind of naturally kind of comes down here in the cave. But it's down, it's usually naturally colder down here anyway. And so hot chocolate kind of seems to fit in with what I'm doing this morning. There you go. The show's half over, and all I've talked about is what's in my cup. What I want to talk about is the greatest television event in all history of all television ever. That is, that's what we're being told anyway. That's what they're acting like. This is the biggest thing that should ever be because it's on all channels. At least they think it is. The J6 committee hearings. Now, I was listening to this. I was doing something else. I couldn't just sit down and listen to this thing. I was busy doing other things while I was listening to it. But I was listening to it live via Robert Gouveia, who is watching The Watchers. He's a defense attorney who originally started a YouTube channel just to be kind of educate his clients and talk about the legal system and law, and just kind of a boring channel about blah, 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 law, this, law, that, blah, blah, blah. And this guy kind of, when COVID happened, of course, that changed a lot of things in terms of how busy he was. So he was locked down all the time. He was home. So he started talking more about the COVID stuff. And he's really big on, he understands rights. I wouldn't care if the guy was left or right. Now, this is where even someone like What's the attorney that always comes on to Fox News? He's actually a Democrat. He calls himself a Democrat, but he's an old school Democrat. He's not the left wing knucklehead leftist. He's what's the guy's name? I'll look it up here. Let's see if I can find it. He's been around a while. He was going through. He was giving his commentary live as the J6 committee hearing was going on. Alan Dershowitz. I didn't even look it up. I just happened to just finally got had to think of something else, and then it kind of just came back. Alan Dershowitz. He's a Democrat. However, he's one of those people who he understands the law, he understands the Constitution and rights, and I can have a conversation with someone like that. Now, that guy, Watching the Watchers guy. I'll just call him Robert. We're on a first name basis. He actually, I think, is a little bit more right leaning, probably. He's more of a true conservative, I would say, with regard to small government and, you know, keeping government in its place. Understands the purpose of the Constitution, the legal system, and why we have a legal system the way it's designed the way it is. He's very good about those kinds of things. Understands the foundational principles. And so it's just one of those things where I like the guy where he's coming from, because it's a constructionist. He says he reads the Constitution literally. He just takes it for what it is. He doesn't, you know. You have to understand the meaning of the words, the way they wrote them in the day, but basically it says what it means. That's where I'm standing as well. I agree with that whole mentality. The J6 Commission, it's interesting to hear his perspective on it as they go through. He was just pulling his hair out, because this whole thing is such a charade. He was, first of all, You've got is one side here. There's no cross-examination of any of this, any of the witnesses, anything. We have this testimony. We're going to play this part of the testimony. We're going to play this. We're going to play that. We got this well-edited, music-overlaid video that we're going to play with. This stuff was all produced for television. They're making this case of, well, Trump didn't do this and Trump didn't do that, and he could have done this, he could have done that. He should have said this, he should have tweeted out this. He never asked if Mike Pence was okay. All these things that they think he should have done, if they would have been in office, that's what they would have done. These are the things the president should have done. Therefore, he's guilty. Guilty of what? Not doing what you think he should have done? Is that a crime? Is all of a sudden your standard of what the president should do is all of a sudden it's a crime? You see, they've got all these committee hearings and all this stuff. What is exactly the crime that they're going after? They didn't state it not one time during this entire committee meeting. Now, maybe they've stated it before. Well, it's conspiracy to incite an insurrection. The gallows, they kept talking about the gallows that they had constructed outside the Capitol building. Only one reporter accidentally said the words, how did he put it? There's a word for it. It's a symbolic gallows that they put. These gallows would not even, they wouldn't hold up to putting, actually hanging somebody. And they were chanting, there was a bunch of them chanting at one point, "Hang Mike Pence." Now, as I'm listening to this, of course, my first thought is, especially out of everything that's gone on recently, is who started the chant? Probably an FBI agent. Probably some kind of a provocateur started that. Who knows, it might have been a whole 10 or 15 of them. And of course, there's at one point where they're saying, hang Mike Pence, and it's like five of them saying it. That makes all Trump supporters are joining in with hang Mike Pence. Now, I don't think Mike Pence was all that scared because he understands that these people probably, they were not going to hang Mike Pence. They might have gotten into a heated argument, but nobody's going to hurt the guy. Nobody's actually going to take this guy out and do anything with him. And the whole argument was, Trump kept saying, he was arguing, and with his lawyer, he had one lawyer who was saying they had a path. Actually, he had more than one lawyer. There were several other lawyers who wrote very clearly the path to potentially sending back the ballots to the states for recertification. Now, of course, this whole thing is based on the idea that the root crime here is not accepting the results of the election. He still hasn't accepted the results of the election. They then play a video of him not accepting the results of the election. A duly elected president, he's not accepting the... You know, it was just a year prior to the election. Less than a year. A year before the January 6th commission was started, at the end of 2020. Hillary Clinton made a very public statement, made it very clear that Trump stole the election. You know, you can campaign, you can do everything you're supposed to do, you can have an election, you can do all this kind of stuff, and you can still lose the election. Because another country gets involved in hacking the process. She said that in 2020. Ask anybody on the left when they were ranting and raving for 4 years about how Russia stole the election, if they accepted the results of the election. No, he's an illegitimate president. For 4 years. But again, hypocrisy means nothing to these people. You can call them hypocrites all you want. They don't care. Well, that was back then. This is now. Trump should have accepted the results of the election because he's trying to take over the government. We almost lost our democracy. And they kept reiterating how Biden won, Biden won, Biden won. Trump lost. Can't accept it. You know, and then they laugh at this idea that this 2,000 mules thing has any credibility. And my understanding is Bill Barr laughed at this, like kind of laughed off the movie. He hasn't seen the movie. Dinesh D'Souza actually had a report yesterday about this. He said he kind of responded to the comments that Bill Barr made, I guess, to the January 6th commission. And he said he laughed it off as if it, now this, keep in mind, Bill Barr conducted zero investigation into any voter fraud. Zero. None. Go into the, follow the money. There was no money, no time spent by anyone in the DOJ to find any voter fraud. None. Bill Barr just looked at some pictures, looked at some video that was on the evening news. That's all he did. There was no investigation. This stuff has all been done independently and with a great amount of integrity, I might add. True the Vote is they just want the truth. And they're finding it. And it's not good. Most of the organizations that backed the funding for these mules were directly linked to Obama non-government organizations. Now keep in mind, these NGOs, as they're called, were receiving federal funding. These are the kind of things, when we start spending $40 billion without accountability, where's the money? How does $40 billion in cash going to Ukraine, who gets that money? How do they spend it? What are they going to do with that? They're going to throw it at the Russians? Are they going to buy arms, food, infrastructure? We don't know. We're not being told. All we know is all of a sudden we had to have this aid for Ukraine because it was so, all of a sudden it was a crisis. They're in a crisis. We got to send them money. And everybody agreed on both sides of the aisle. Not everybody, but it was overwhelmingly a bipartisan bill. But they had to, Mitch McConnell called up the president and said, we need to do this as a single standalone bill. We've got to get this money through there. The president hung up the phone and he called him back a little later and said, yeah, I agree. We need to do this. Well, he didn't say it that way. He said, that's what he said probably. Then he probably had to have his diapers changed. I don't know. This guy's just so. I digress. I'm getting mean now. I don't like to be that way. Sorry. I've just had it with this guy. Other names I could call him, but I'm not. I got to stop thinking about it. Drinking my Swiss Miss and my eyes starting to twitch. The one thing I think that stands out the most about this crazy committee, especially hearing it, listening to it with the perspective of a defense attorney, just sheds a whole new light on this thing. Robert Gavea was going through this whole process of all the things that a defense attorney would object to. You can't replay evidence for one thing. You can't play evidence over and over. And they kept doing that, the same thing over and over. And then they would play video of the riots and things that were going on. And he had this special little switch on his panel. Every time they would play riots, it was always the same thing over and over. Now then they would also say that police officers were killed that day. No, they weren't. There was a year prior when BLM activists broke in and actually did kill a couple of Secret Service agents. I bet you didn't hear about that. They didn't lay in state in the rotunda, using someone's body, dead body, as a political tool. People have no shame whatsoever. And Liz Cheney continues to just go on. It's at the point where I can't stand to even look at this lady anymore. Not let alone hear her talk. You can hear, if you listen carefully, you can hear the disdain in her voice rings through. She's just so disgusted by Donald Trump that if she were president, things would be different. That's the way it comes across. He didn't do the presidential thing on January 6th, leading up to the election. He didn't simply accept the election results and move on. Well, of course he didn't. It's well known that the attorney generals in some of these states enacted laws for voting that were not, they were illegal. They were flat out, they weren't passed by the legislation, by the state legislature. It was illegal. Well, it was because of COVID. We had to take drastic measures because, no, you don't have the authority to do that. Then call a special House meeting. You want to put out voting boxes. You don't just have the right to just do that. Well, one man, and they kept saying one man doesn't have the authority to decide the election, who's going to be the president. No, President Trump never said he did. He did, but he does have the authority, maybe, to question the results of the election and to send back. There was one state that wanted their votes recalled. There was one state that was asking, can we have those our electors back because we've discovered something wrong. We want to go through an examination of this before we. They had certified the election, but they were like, no, we need to recall this. They wouldn't let them. Because the state legislature had a big meeting between the time that they sent the certification off and the time that the January 6th commission happened. And they discovered there were some serious problems. First off, there was a bunch of votes that were illegal because they were done without legislature approval. And of course, this is where they slip through the cracks. This is where they have the issues of mules and mail-in ballots and all this other stuff that's going on. And you get into Atlanta, you got these ballots being counted, pulling out ballots from under the table and being recounted, pushed through a machine after the watchers are gone. I'm going to send home the watchers that we put over on the side there because of COVID. Can't watch anything because of COVID. Yeah, you don't think that they used COVID as a means to do what they did. Of course, everybody says, well, it doesn't matter. Even if we do find, you know, there's a problem, we just need to move on to the next one. Never let it happen again. Okay, in the meantime, we have 4 years of this. And when the progressives go down this path, it's like running down a hill. You cannot stop. And it's very difficult, if you can get stopped, to go back up the hill. Now, the one thing we are seeing with the leftists in control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we are seeing the ridiculousness. It is a runaway freight train off a cliff. The Attorney General in Michigan right now just announced that they should have, what is her name, Dana somebody or whatever her name is. Her and Gretchen Whitmer are two peas in a pod. I think there's three peas because I think it's the Attorney General, I think the Secretary of State of Indiana, I think, or State of Michigan. I believe also is in cahoots with them as well, but that's just ridiculous. I saw this thing about Merrick Garland. Somebody made a comment yesterday, speaking of attorney generals. They made a comment about Merrick Garland being scared to go against the leftist mob. No. 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 He's one of them. You don't understand. This is a dream come true for him to have the leftist mob. He's all in with this leftist mob. He's not scared of them. He's practically leading them. I guarantee you he's telling them what he's willing to do. Now, when it comes down to this whole thing, if Trump is right and this election was stolen, it doesn't mean we're going to overturn the election and we're going to put Trump back in office. That's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. If it does, that would be the biggest miracle that ever happened on the. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, well, the blind man seeing is a pretty big miracle. But I guess, you know, it's the biggest miracle in my lifetime, probably, that I've seen nationally. Or at least one of them. I can't seem to recall any others that would be that big. But so when we see this, this whole thing is based on this idea that the election, first of all, the election was pristine and there was no problem with the election whatsoever. It was the best election ever. There was no, but now they're already saying, there are already people saying that if a Trump candidate wins in 2024, it will be stolen election. There already, this was said at the January 6th commission. This was implied. Heaven forbid that Trump or the anointed one of Trump should win the election in 2024, that they should win and steal that election too. Oh, so if a Trump candidate, Trump endorsed candidate or Trump himself wins the election, somehow that now all of a sudden becomes again, once again, here we go, a stolen election. They're already presupposing that the election's stolen simply based on who wins it. This is how ridiculously incoherent and the lack of self-awareness that is on the left, that they can make statements like that and not realize how stupid they are in making them. There's some interesting... The shocking number of former Trump staffers who say he's unfit to serve the second term. You have to understand, there were a lot of staffers that Trump took on who were not conservatives. He had a lot of staffers he allowed in because he wanted to have a bipartisan. He didn't just clean house. He really, I think up until this, because he had been a Democrat for most of his life. For most of his life, he pretty much agreed with and voted with, and that's why they loved the guy. He was on the Oprah show. He was Mr. Donald Trump guy. They loved him. And then he ran as a Republican. Started making some statements about the border. And all of a sudden, he's a racist. And of course, since he's a Republican and they knew he could win, they didn't like him at all. And Hillary had to be she was the anointed one. She needed to be the one who won. And of course, when she wasn't, even people in the FBI thought she was supposed to be the one who won. She wins 1,000,000 to 1. But if she doesn't, we have an insurance policy. We have the Russian dossier. And I don't know what to think about this Ivanka Trump thing. They're really, CNN and MSNBC are really using her testimony, if you want to call it that. They are, in my opinion, they're just plagiarizing. They're not plagiarizing. What is it called? They're using it to the hilt. It is amazing to me how... I don't think she's going to be a part of the administration if he gets back in. Let's just put it that way. He will never disown her. I don't think he's very happy with what's going on with that. Because they're making it sound like... And of course, she can't run for president. She's never going to... Nobody's... The right wing of the party is not going to vote for her. They didn't like her being in there at all. A lot of it's because of Jared Kushner, but I don't necessarily have any. I don't know what the issues are with him. I know that there are some issues, but I don't think he was the evil man that everybody's called him, but he was. But anyway. So this. I want to get back to this story. I actually found my way back to this thing. I can't believe it. I went down a bunny trail and came back. The Attorney General in Michigan has decided that there needs to be a drag queen assigned to every school. Every school needs to have a drag queen assigned to it because, you know, drag queens just make everything better. This is the statement that the Attorney General of Michigan made. This is where they're going, folks. This is how they're going down this path. Because nobody's slowing them down. They think this is going to win them over with the American people. I, Now, this is why they're so emboldened right now that it makes me kind of wonder what they have planned for the 2022 elections and or the 2024 elections, because they're doubling down here. This is June. We're almost into July. We have July, August, September, and October, 4 months before the election. That's a long time, actually. A lot of things can happen when you consider that most of America has a memory of about 2 weeks, typically, with political events. I can't remember the guy's name. He's got a show called Slightly Offensive. He was out on the street asking people in L.A. what they thought of the January 6th committee meetings. Most of them were like, what's that? They don't even know what it is. I mean, the vast majority of the people he asked, at least I don't know how many he edited it out, but there was one lady who was like, yeah, they need to go after all of them. And he said, so you think Nancy Pelosi needs to do this? Who's Nancy Pelosi? She didn't know who any of these people were. Who's Liz Cheney? She didn't know any of these people. Benny Thomas. No, nobody. They didn't know anybody. But they were all about getting Donald Trump and saying he was, you know, he was the evil one. He told those people to go down there and bust into the Capitol. Now, another thing you got to realize is that I think that these people who were all upset, Nancy knew that there were people that were all upset if they gave him an opportunity. Are you telling me that the Capitol building is so insecure that a group of people with no weapons, by the way, well, they had zip ties. Yeah, I've got zip ties up in my garage. I don't know. I probably got some downstairs or somewhere too. I don't know. I didn't realize they were harmful. I didn't realize I could attack the Capitol and take over a country with them. This is the kind of stuff, you know, they go after this kind of stuff and then they make it a big deal. Well, they were going to do this. They were going to do that. Now the Proud Boys, there's this interesting letter that was typed up about how they were going to do all this stuff. They had this letter that was, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to surveil this and we're going to drive past this. And we're going to make sure that we got people here and people there. And we're going to do these kinds of things. And we're going to go in and we're going to get Pence and we're going to force them to do this and that. We're going to give them, you know, give them a week, going to give them 2 weeks to have another, to demand that the demands were, they were going to have another real. I think I'm having a stroke. Their demands were that they were going to have another election. They wanted to have another election and have it on one day and see what the results were. Now, this is not the motive or the modus operandi, of a group of people who want to take over the country. We want to have a re-election. That's not what people who want to take over the country do. This was about the results and how credible they were. This was not about whether or not Donald Trump won or not. Well, he lost, so we're going to go out and we're going to install him ourselves. That's not what they said. That wasn't even their intent in this letter. However, the problem I've got with this letter, and Robert Gauvier was very astute in his assumption here. He said, who wrote this letter? It doesn't say anywhere. They never say who wrote the letter, where it came from. This could easily, and he didn't say this, this is my assumption, this could easily have just been a compiled letter that they made up. Adam Schiff got up before the House and talked about what Donald Trump said to Zelensky when he was trying to find out, get corruption information about Biden's activity in Ukraine. Biden running for president. Don't you think it would be a concern from somebody? about what kind of activity he was committing over there? What kind of business deals he had going on with Ukraine? So he was asking Zelensky for some help with that. I don't think it was because Trump cared who ran. I think he was concerned about this guy being an illegitimate, compromised individual running for president. I don't think he had any problem with anybody running for president who was legitimately able to and actually cared about the country. So, we have this craziness that's going on, the J6 Commission. And they keep doing this stuff. And this one, at one point, Robert Govier, he makes it very clear that, and he shows video of this, that they're letting people in the doors. The whole point of this is that the one area that they were breaking into, you're telling me it took them several minutes to try to break into that window. You're telling me they have no way that you can just break into a window and all of a sudden thousands of people come running in. On a day that you know that there's going to be about 1 million people out there, or even 500,000, or even 200,000 people out there, and you've got your staff at half staff, you don't have anybody reinforcing anything inside the Capitol building. That has, by the way, been broken into before by other groups. I remind you that during the Gorsuch, and especially Kavanaugh, during the Kavanaugh hearings, they allowed people to come in by the thousands and occupy the building and did nothing to them. Nobody got arrested for trespassing. Nobody got in trouble for doing anything. They just let them through. This thing was a setup. And what they're making out of it is that we almost lost our democracy. No, we didn't almost lose our democracy. First of all, you're redefining what a democracy is. Democracy is not a bunch of people sitting on a hill telling the country what to do. You know, I remember right after 9/11, I think it was Nancy Pelosi, got up and made this big statement. Want the American people not to worry that your government is intact. Oh, we are the government. The government is for, of, and by the people, not by you. I thought it was a strange statement to make, like we would be really concerned about our leaders, supposedly. Our representatives is what you are. You're not our leaders, you're our representatives. We are our leaders. We are sovereign in ourselves. You represent our rights, not give us rights or protect our, you're supposed to protect our rights, but you're not the maker of our rights. It was a really good, Roman Bakalov last night had a really good interview with a guy on Facts Matter. He said, you know, what most politicians aren't understanding, this was a guy who was actually the guy who, I think he was the guy. They were talking, one thing they were talking about was, this one accusation that was made was that this one congressman, Loudon maybe, he was accused of giving the insurrectionists a surveillance tour the day before January. On January 5th, he was out giving this tour. Now, he never went into the Capitol building. He never went into the Capitol building during this tour. He was giving, but one individual was recognized as someone who had been in the Capitol building that day, the day of January 6th. Now, there was a lot of people who just walked in because the doors were open. Once the initial breach was made, they just left the doors open and hundreds of people come walking through thinking, oh, the doors are open. I guess we can just walk in and do our thing here. See what happens. They thought it was open. There was no sign there even saying you're trespassing, which I thought, by the way, was supposed to be like, if I can't arrest somebody for trespassing on my property unless they have put up a no trespassing sign. They didn't have one of those up there. But I digress. So these people were walking around in there. Well, he was one of the people who were seen on the Capitol, in the Capitol building. Did he take Nancy's laptop? Did he do some damage? Did he do anything? So he was there the day before taking pictures. He took pictures of stairways and things. Oh yeah. The person who accused him of this was someone who was in military intelligence, and they could spot something like this because when they saw this video of this guy Loudon, I think was his name, giving a tour, they could tell these people were doing surveillance. Well, your military intelligence failed you because you were wrong. Military intelligence looked at it, and also the Capitol Police looked at it. Everybody looked at it and said there was nothing unusual about this tour. They do this all the time. At least somebody had the integrity to say, well, you know, this happens all the time. They probably had to give cover for it for another reason, but that's what ended up happening with that. So that was kind of a womp womp. So that was a big deal initially. That was a bombshell. Of course, now they haven't retracted that in any of the news organizations that were putting it out there. The whole thing is, what it comes down to is this whole thing is a sham. And the House Bill HR 503 talks about how this thing is supposed to be legitimately and legally set up. It is not. There's supposed to be 13 of them. There's 9. There's supposed to be 5 minority party members. There are 2. Minority parties are supposed to be chosen by the Speaker of the House and the head committee of the minority committee. There were 2 chosen. They were rejected, and the majority party chose 2 people. So this is not a bipartisan commission. Just because somebody has an R behind their name, it is not bipartisan. Liz Cheney believes she's going to be heavily rewarded by the left if she complies with what they want. That's not the way the left works, Liz. You're sleeping among vipers, and you don't even realize it. They will turn on, if you ran for president today, they would turn on you in a heartbeat. Oh, they're making out like, oh, Pence did the right thing, and Liz Cheney did the right thing, and some of these other, you know, Republicans who kind of caved on the whole thing, they did the right thing. These are good Republicans. If they ran for president, they wouldn't be good. I guarantee you they'd retract all their statements, say, oh, I didn't realize this person was so terrible. They're a racist. Didn't realize that they were slave owners. Yeah. This is what we're dealing with, folks. The J6 committee is a sham. It is a made-for-TV. What they know that they don't have, the thing that they have to accomplish with this is the only reason they're doing the J6 commission. The only thing that they have to accomplish, the only thing that they can accomplish with this is to get public opinion on their side. This is a court of public opinion. And it's a one-sided slam with no defense, no cross-examination, no one from the other side being able to ask any questions of these witnesses. It is videotaped testimony. And some of the people that they've got speaking, and it's so obviously scripted. They're sitting there reading from a teleprompter the whole time. It's so obvious. And the only people who aren't speaking from teleprompters are lost for words. They had one particular judge there, federal judge, former federal judge. It was painful to try to listen to him make a statement. He couldn't, he was worse than Biden. And then he would go back and repeat himself. And I repeat myself. You go back and repeat what he tried to say the first time, and he would still stutter and make terrible, just terrible statements. The things that are misspoken and just flat out lies. Of course, we can't call them lies now. Nowadays, they had lack of candor. They were not forthcoming. Because for some reason to call someone a liar now, when they are, or just to say that they've lied, not even call them a liar, just to say that's a lie. is somehow that's not, well, that's your truth. That's not my truth. Yeah. 2 + 2 = 5. Here we go. So this is where we are, folks. They are desperate. They are extremely desperate, and this desperation concerns me. There's this looming understanding that they pulled it off once in 2020 with the whole COVID thing. We had a crisis, so we were able to change the election rules. What are they going to do this time? This is going to become their standard operation. Maybe it's going to be monkeypox. Monkeypox is, I've heard now that it's mutating. They're not going to call it monkeypox, though, because that's racist. I don't know why they would think that's racist. I'm not sure exactly. I put that together there, but that's, they have some reason for that. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Have a great weekend. I might be on here again today. Who knows? God bless everybody.